Terry.
Question for Fred. If we prevail, what it's okay then?
Well, if we prevail, the judge would, well, the judge has got to find that their map is not acceptable. And then he can allow the, or do a temporary map, which would be our map maybe, or create one of his own, which I wouldn't hold my breath for. So I expect that he will go with the map that we presented as an example of it can be done according to the rules and properly. They're claiming that it can't. I guess we didn't do our job right. So if we prevail, I'm looking at the judge accepting our map as being the way it is.
You would probably give them a time limit to put their lines within our...
It's clear that this has got to be done, you know, in a timely basis. Yeah. We're expecting, you know, by the end of October or first part of November at the latest.
You're going to bring that up at the Tuesday night, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then the districts that we created for the city would be the...
Our districts remain the way they are. Their ward map requires our district lines be changed. And that's what we're saying. We're not going to do that. They're saying that they, you know, it won't work without us changing the lines. And that's not true. We presented a map, a ward map, that shows four wards for each supervisory district within the city. Can be created very easily, and we've also presented aldermanic district examples of how they can put four of these together to make 17 aldermanic districts. Now, they might not be happy with what aldermen might be representing what neighborhoods, but that's too bad. Our, you know, as far as ours went, we had to accept some changes both in the city and throughout the county, they don't want to do that. So what they did, it looks like they did, I think the evidence will clearly show that. They put the welfare of the aldermen's ahead of everything else instead of doing everything and then seeing if we couldn't protect the supervisors like we did, it's going to be an interesting exercise, I guess.
It'll change between now and then.
Yeah, there's no precedence that they can go to for this kind of a thing because nobody's ever tried to do it before.
Can I make the suggestion that the meeting following the judge's decision on summary judgment that this be placed on the agenda for explanation, whatever the result might be, so that all of us have an understanding of.
Oh, we're sure. We'll report back. There were.
And I'd like to have the Corporation Council here at that time
to explain what. He had just gotten the summary judgment on Wednesday.
Their motion for summary.
Yes, he had just gotten that on Wednesday, and so he hadn't had a chance to really read it.
So we didn't file a motion for summary judgment?
No. Yeah, I think he might have.
Well, he was here on Tuesday and talked about it, right?
Well, in the need for the hearing again,
but he didn't reach his office.
Yes. So whatever our meeting is after that, can we put that on the agenda?
We'll know. For the finance?
Well, either what is first, finance after the 11th of October, or is it the,
whatever, after which,
immediately, as soon as something's done,
the first meeting that we have, either here or the board upstairs, will explain.
Or we'll have to reconvene our committee, maybe. Who knows? There's no sense making something until we get the judgment done.
It's really in the hands of the court now. There's nothing that we can do.
Maybe it'll get resolved before that, too. You never know.
Well,
you're funny. That's funny.
They're not going to resolve anything in the city on any of these.
Yeah. Done?
Through the chair to the supervisor recognizes, just from a procedural standpoint, we're expecting a summary judgment to be issued on a particular date. Exactly.
Well, it'll be heard on the 11th, whether or not he grants it. I mean, that's unknown at this point, but we don't expect that he will. We're anticipating going to trial on the 26th.
By color?
Yes.
And you're, by he, you're saying?
Judge.
The judge?
Judge Schroeder will hear.
Judge Schroeder.
I'm glad he's here.
Yeah. So. And Joe Cardamone is representing the county, and the city has hired the high price law firm out of Godfrey.
Good.
Not good.
So this would be basically, to finish up here, this would be a circuit court proceeding.
Yes.
Regardless of the trial outcome and whenever it concludes, we're assuming sometime probably in October, either side would have the ability to appeal that.
Well, there's not a lot of space there. I mean, this has all got to be done the first part of November.
They could appeal, though.
Yeah, but it's going to have to be done with. The appeal's got to be finalized and over by the middle of November because the clerks have got to know what the districts are.
I would ask Cardamone, from your being you chairman of the committee, if there is an appeal process in place or not, because I don't know that there is. If the judge says
they have a right to appeal. Oh, there's always
that would appeal in a civil case. But the real problem is that come December 1st, there are going to be districts that we're going to run in. And boards that they're going to have. So it's going to be kind of hard to change those after the first.
So your point of some practical standpoint, really what the ruling comes down will most likely stand, and that would be...
At least for the time being. I mean, if there's an appeal, it might have to be adjusted for the subsequent election. Yeah. But
then to follow up on that, how will the verdict be... who will judge? Will it be a judge or a jury? Or how does
judge.
This thing work?
It's a bench trial. Yeah. And it would be nice. There were five of us there today, weren't there?
Yeah, there was five supervisors.
It would be nice if the board was well represented at each of the hearings to show that the city didn't have anybody there at all.
Email that out again.
So yeah, why don't you send that notice?
The 11th and 26th.
As we get closer to the October date, as a reminder and request that we attend and the time.
Blast it out.
Okay. Yeah, that's the 11th and the 26th, right?
11th and the 26th.
Right. Those are my questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Item 5 at 10 after 6, approval of minutes of Finance Administration Committee meeting from August 16th.
So moved. Second.
Move second. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you.
Aye.
Item 6, we'll leave till later. Item 7, the treasurer. Report regarding tax delinquencies. Do we have some?
Yeah, that happens sometimes. Especially this time
Terry,
of year.
Give us the good news.
Well, I guess the good news would be that the dollar amount went down for a change on what we issued for tax certificates. So it's not a ton, but down is better than up, like it has been the last 4 years. So we went last year on September 1st, we issued $8.1 million in tax certificates for the 2009 taxes. This year, we issued $7.9 million in 2010 tax certificates on the same date. So I think most of you have had experience with tax certificates before and heard my explanation of what they are, so I don't have to go into that. But I guess that's the mini good news. I think you all received this chart in your packets that kind of shows
the
difference.
I had nine charts of, I think, the same thing.
Oh, they gave them all to you instead of giving one to each?
I had like nine of them here, and I didn't know. I started going through them thinking it's all different,
no,
but it's all
just,
the same.
They're all the same. They probably just
did everybody else get one?
We all got nine.
You all got nine instead of just one.
Is there nine different versions?
There's more tax delinquencies than last year.
Yeah,
look at all those pages.
I
was like scared to death when I read this. I realized it was all the same thing.
Well, I gave her
good news.
I gave her a copy for each of you, but she apparently thought they were different and made copies of the copy I gave her for each of you for everybody. Okay. But really, you only
needed
one.
You need them all back for I can use it.
Anybody wants scrap paper, there you go. But really, you only needed the one.
All right.
I try not to bore you with too much and try to keep it all on a one-page kind of a situation here. So you can see the difference. The number of parcels went up a little bit. That relates to, again, a split and combination issue with where subdivisions were at the time January 1st when the cash flow was issued. So if one that was delinquent last year was only one parcel and this year now is 50 parcels because it had been subdivided, the taxes may be the same, but the number of parcels goes up. The other thing that probably stands out when you look at this chart is the town of Summers. If you look at it, the town of Summers had a significant increase in dollar amount and parcels. Of course, some of you may remember that their tax levy went up significantly this last year due to the fact that their equalized value increased when everybody else's was decreasing last year, so their percent of all the shared levy things like county, unified, etc. went up significantly. But that's not actually the bulk of that. That probably represents about $150,000 of that $356,000 increase. The rest of it was Summers Market, the area around the new Sam's Club and Walmart, the big areas that aren't developed on the north side and east side that are awaiting future development. There are about 20 parcels there, and they did not pay their property taxes to the tune of $210,000 in the town of Summers. So of the $356,000 increase, a brand new person on my list is Summers Market to the tune of $210,000. So that did not help the Summers increase at all there. But you also note that almost the same amount that Summers went up, the city of Kenosha went down. So we had a little symmetry there. Mm-hmm. Pleasant Prairie went down again 2 years in a row in both the number of delinquencies and the dollar amount of delinquencies. So that was pretty interesting. Also, if you note on the upper right-hand side, we have percent of tax levy that is delinquent, and you'll see that that went from 2.97% last year to 2.45% this year. So I think that's the highlights for you. If you have any specific questions.
Move to receive and file the report.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Gant, second by Supervisor Singer. Aye. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Aye, thanks.
Thank you.
Order after.
6:15.
Okay, item number 8. It is 6:15.
Number 7.
Oh, number 7. Trevor's, do you want to do Trevor's report? I got
yes,
number.
Yes, right.
What it was.
We already.
Yeah. They got into another one because they got audited a bill.
Oh, okay.
The new one on
your.
We are on the
sheriff.
Yeah, sure.
Which is
okay.
7. What? It's 7.
No, I could throw that.
We're on 8.
See, we have what? A corrected, updated
one?
Agenda.
Yeah, a new agenda.
Item number 8, it is 6:15. Sheriff's resolution regarding organized crime drug enforcement task force supplement to overtime funds.
Chairman Clark and the committee, this resolution is in reference to a $10,000 award from the Federal Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. It is for reimbursing overtime hours spent by the drug operations group on a particular case. We initially were awarded $10,000 in, I think, April. This is another $10,000 to continue that same case. The spending period ends September 30, so we've been kind of working with it anyway. It's just a delay bringing it here, waiting for the award letters. But this will reimburse the Sheriff's Department detectives that are part of the drug operations group, and there are detectives that participate in that from the city and will reimburse the city for their officers' time.
Motion approved.
Second by Supervisor O'Day, second by Supervisor Singer.
Question.
Supervisor Reed.
You mentioned that this is one particular case that is receiving this money.
It's an operation
okay. That
they're working on. They're all given certain kinds of names of what it's all about. I couldn't tell you.
No, that's not the interest. I'm just trying to determine if this is an ongoing enforcement group of things that are being done, or if it's one particular large case. What is the read on that?
For instance, last year, running into spring of this year, there was a different operation that had a different name to it where we were given a series of $10,000 to work with the DEA and U.S. Marshal and Feds on usually an area, even outside of Kenosha, that they work with the drug units and the county.
So it's not clear at this point if it's a series of enforcement measures or if it's just one large case, we don't know.
Right. Is there some detail on the award letter?
The inference is that it is one case.
Yeah, they're usually given operation numbers from the feds there. The investigation number on there starts GLWIE0162. Some of those numbers change depending on the operation. But I was going to have Sergeant Urquhart here, but he may be here at 6:30, not 6 o'clock, so that he might be able to better answer your question.
That's my question for the moment.
Thank you. Supervisor Stinger.
This passed Judiciary and Law last night, last night's committee, and that was indicated that was one drug enforcement thing going on that is specific to one case. So, and it was passed unanimous in committee. So.
Okay. Any other discussion? We had it moved and seconded already, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. Any other questions? On the resolution, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries.
Thank you. We have the original.
It's going around.
Yeah.
Oh, signed it.
We're having a challenging evening tonight, I see.
Point of information.
Yes.
Before you came in, there was discussion. Mr. Riedel brought to our attention that there will not be a closed session. Item 13, be aware of that.
Yes, I got an email. Thank you. Okay. That's that fine work of the.
Every once in a while, we get a rise.
Okay. Item number 9, it is 619 from the Human Services Committee. Resolution to modify the 2011 budget for additional funding for the Kenosha County WIC program. Demonstration kitchen project.
Good evening. My name is Wayne Krieger. I'm the fiscal manager for the Division of Health. Bringing this resolution forward, it's for additional money that has been pass-through money from the federal government to the state to us running the local WIC program, Women's, Infants, and Children's program. They are remodeling a portion of their building to better serve them and putting together a demonstration kitchen for some of their programs so they can teach mothers how to cook healthier and how to try to eat at home instead of eating at McDonald's. This is one-time funding infrastructure building money that the feds are passing through. So it's just a clear pass-through from us to Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency.
I'll move to approve.
Second by Supervisor Akronis. Any discussion, Supervisor?
Just against? For your guys' information on the Human Services Committee, we did question, you know, an oven for over $3,000, and, you know, stuff like that. They broke it down, but evidently this is industrial size and whatnot. And Supervisor Arrington said this is about what this stuff costs. So we did approve it, but there were questions as to the dollar amount for the various stuff if you review this. So I just wanted to let you know.
What's the motion and second again?
I made the motion. And
against an acronym.
Sorry.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries. Thank you. Whew. We are on to item number 11.
10.
Oh, another human services. Sorry. I hit myself.
Double trouble here.
Item number 10, 621. Human Services Resolution to modify Division of Aging and Disability Services 2011 budgets to add well-being classes funding.
This is involves a grant that we're working with a couple of researchers from the UW-Madison Institute on Aging, and we're going to be testing. They received a grant that would allow us to test a program in Kenosha County
to improve the well-being of older adults, particularly those who are suffering from depression. Depression among older people is a real serious problem and certainly contributes to other medical conditions. So we're excited about this. It's a foundation from within the university that allows researchers to what they call translate research into a pilot program. It would involve classes that with a trained facilitator who there involves discussion and exercises to help people focus on some of the positive things and identify the things that may be barriers to thinking positives. And they do some journaling in between the classes. The program is based on research that was done in Italy with a younger population, and they'll be testing this program with an older population.
Terry, you meant yes, right? Ryan?
Yeah,
did I check? No, I'll check.
Supervisor Gantz.
I can't remember if I asked this question when I was at Human Services, and if I did, I forgot, so, you know, I'm getting old myself. But this is a one-time, are we creating any positions with this?
No.
Okay, because that's, we always have that issue of what happens if the funding runs out. Okay, all right. I'll move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Gantz, second by Supervisor Singer. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries.
Thank you. Got it.
It is 6:23. We're going to skip past the presentation of the audit till the end at the request of the Finance Director. If there's no objections, we'll move on to item 12, report from the Finance Director, Budget Manager, Personnel Director.
I'll distribute the general fund report. This is the most recent update of the general fund report. I think the couple significant changes, I mean, it's went down from about 8.4 to about 7.9. The significant changes here is Human Services last time had a $1.1 million surplus. We're looking at a possible deficit at Brookside because of the Medicare rate going down of $200,000. That's on the top portion. On the bottom half, our health insurance looks like it's a little worse than last time. I think last time we reported a deficit of 1.5 million. We're looking at 1.7 million. And those are the significant changes that brought it down to our projection is 7.9 at this point. I want to refer you to the back page. I have the Public Works report and the significant piece is the item outlined there in black. That's our projection for year end. It looks like Public Works will balance. It looks like golf has close to a $181,000 deficit or around $200,000, but Public Works will be able to cover that deficit, and we're projecting that they'll break even in Public Works. But I wanted to show you, update you with the Public Works, and we'll start getting more refined numbers as the, you know, golf courses start to wind down and better handle on that as we close the year.
And we pulled those golf revenue numbers back in last year's budget.
Correct.
And we...
I'm not afraid.
If you were comparing this to the way you did it in prior years where you were adding the cost of payments on the bond for the facility.
They're still in there.
They're still there.
Yes.
Okay, what about those other costs that you attributed to other departments?
The indirect cost hasn't been in there for a couple years.
Right. How much would that be?
I think it was a little over $100,000 was the indirect cost.
Okay, so this would be
$300,000.
So, and then the last time we did that,
that was
the deficit.
I don't remember. I mean, that was a couple of years ago. I'd have to go back and look at it. see what year we, you know, I think it's been 2 or 3 years since we charged it there.
Yeah, I think that's something just to keep in mind so that when we're comparing this figure to, let's say, 2 years ago, it might give the false impression that we're going down, whereas we're about the same.
Yeah, and if you look across, in 2010 it wasn't in there, and they had lost. If you go straight across, straight to the right, you see the 322.
Mm-hmm.
That did not include the indirect costs, so we are doing better relative to last year.
It was here, 2009, 296.
Yeah, and that, I couldn't tell you whether that year had it in there or not. I don't think it did.
I think that was 2009 was the county executive's first budget, I believe.
Okay.
And I think it was changed.
Yeah, I can look to tell you for sure, but I don't.
Supervisor Gray.
While we're on the subject, what other entities or enterprises do not have those associated costs figured in? What other business units?
I don't believe any of them have it any longer. We don't charge indirect to any other.
No. For example, Brookside doesn't have indirect costs.
Both Human Services and Brookside, in doing their reporting to the state entities, okay, or any federal entities, will use their indirect costs. That's part of the reason we do the indirect cost analysis, so they can include it in their part of their cost reimbursement.
So, long story short, golf is not being treated different than any other entity.
No.
None of them have indirect costs factored into this number.
Right. And they're being in there to the same standard as Brookside is. Brookside is being charged for their debt service, and so is the golf course.
That's my question. Thank you.
That concludes my report at this point.
You're going to have this on the desk?
Yes, I will. Yes. I probably won't do the public works portion.
That's fine.
Yes. Al, did you have any other
items? No, that was it. Oh, I do have one other. I will be bringing at our next committee meeting, and I'll go over with the chairman the schedule for the budget hearings.
And I think
we preliminary set the dates, but I'll have I'll share with you before I send that out.
I announced that at the executive committee meeting the other day. So just for the record, I think we're starting on Tuesday the 25th,
yes.
26th, 27th. And then we're going on Monday the 31st.
Those have been set for quite a while. What I'm going to share with you is the departments. And see if you want any change in what time the departments come and our times for each department.
Okay. And then at our next finance committee meeting, I've asked for the IT committee to come in and make their presentation of their projects and things that they're doing, so we have more time to ask questions relative to that, because we're the oversight committee before we start getting into the budget process.
You mean October, right?
Yeah, October. I said our next meeting, which would be
But October. No, but the 25th, 26th, 20th, that's all of October?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
We won't even have the budget until October 4th.
Yeah,
we need to get snippy.
I'm just saying, as I read the paper, I'm just
We set aside those days. What I haven't done is schedule the departments, and I want to review that with you before I send it out to the departments and make sure the spacing and how you want things presented is consistent.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, may I please ask, on the table, can anyone find the aging and disability resolution that we passed on for signature?
Oh, that's right. Pardon me, Dave. I'm sorry. I didn't pass it on because
you were probably in the middle
talking.
Of
we'll blame it on Bill.
You're listening to your...
We're just doing it to see if you're sharp and on your...
Sure. And then I'll distribute the audit report. And then minimum profit.
There
you go.
All right.
Okay.
No, I look like that cookie, but I'm not going to eat anymore.
Once What's I the start last eating? Month you have reported on sales tax?
August.
Is it? How's it trending?
I know right where it was at, 225. What was the last month? Last
that's
month?
About 238.
Yeah, we're close. Yeah, it's about a $250,000 surplus.
Plus, right.
My memory's right.
No, it's right on. It's what it was exactly what was on the general fund report is what we're up. But I don't remember how it was trending. I can go look real quick.
It was trending up.
Up a little bit, yeah.
Okay, and I know we were up earlier in the year. Is it still holding numbers?
Yeah, not, it's not going up substantially, you know, so that leaps and bounds, but it's...
That's
only half year's amount.
Right. Right.
That's right. You're right.
When you record it, yeah.
August or June.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there a report from the personnel director?
Just to tell you that the Joint Services Board, Tuesday night, selected Mr. Tom Genthner to go forward to the committee for approval. It was approved by Judiciary and Law last night and will come to the full board on Tuesday night.
Thank you. Any other reports from finance or administration? Okay. We'll go back to item number 11. It is 6:32, finance presentation of the county 2010 audit. The agenda has 2011.
Can we then talk about this, or are we violating it?
I think it's a
typographical error.
Yes, you can talk.
Sorry.
You just want to get out of here.
Kathy Andrea will be joining us on this, but until she arrives, I'll begin a walkthrough of the report. What I'll do is I'll start with the thicker report here.
Yeah, I could have read it to you. Sorry.
No.
It's good reading.
Thanks, Tuesday. And I'll start with the opinion page.
I don't know what you're talking
about. On page one and page two, we have again an unqualified opinion, which means that we a clean opinion, a good opinion. No exceptions, no issues noted in the auditor's report. One thing that we had this year was we had no issues in our management report. So we had a clean management report. When Kathy gets here, we can ask her to talk more about that. But that's a good accomplishment for us. Getting into the management discussion and analysis, I'm going to let Kathy, if she is able to, she had to be in two places at one time tonight. When she comes back, she'll be able to cover some of these items a little more. But I'm just going to refer to a couple of the pages of interest here. We had on page 14, you can see the reconciliation. This is a unique thing that we do in our management discussion and analysis, that we actually do a reconciliation. I think it's very helpful to on page 14 of the MD&A, we call it the management discussion and analysis. It's very helpful to actually see a reconciliation of what caused the change in the general fund. And you can see that we began the year at about $6 million. You can see the major things that impacted it and caused it to go from $6 million up to $7.4 million. You can see the county board requirement of the 17% of general fund expenditures. And again, that's the benchmark that we established. So it's, I think, important for this committee to understand what that benchmark is. We look at general fund expenditures minus capital expenditures, so they're operating expenditures, and 17% of that number is what our benchmark is for what we should have in the general fund, and that's for all funds. So that one number applies to all funds, and if you do the math on 17%, it's roughly one-sixth of 2 months of cash flow. You can see that we had a significant improvement from 2009 to 2010. And since Al just made the general fund report for this year, it's interesting to go back and see how that was impacted you know, the things that are flowing from last year flowing into this year. So for example, last year we did the mid-year spending cut of $1 million. And you can also see that health insurance was tracking at a $1.7 million surplus last year. This year it's almost reversed. Tracking at a $1.5 million deficit. Now, Al, I know that we've been, and Bob, we've been working on an analysis of that, but for health insurance in 2010, the major thing that we're seeing that's impacting that is big claim, large claims, that we're getting a larger number of large claims hitting our stop loss. And in addition, there's a tier of claims that are below stop loss, but we're seeing more of those $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 claims that are below stop loss. Again, moving down the page here, you can see that we had the Brookside deficit of $660,000. Al just talked about that. Now, with tax delinquencies, we just had the treasurer report that she's seeing those trend positive as of 1/1/2011, and I am pretty sure that we don't have the reevaluation of that in our analysis, right, Al? So
correct.
For the 2011 analysis, we don't have the update. That, although we dropped below the $8 million number, that, you know, maybe that will help this year. Maybe we will see an improvement there.
Dave, how much is the 17% in dollars again?
About $10 million. Yeah. $10.6 million is the target. And one analysis that we look at is, but for the increase in delinquencies, we would be at our target. And the thing that's interesting about that is that if we don't achieve our a revenue estimate, like a sales tax estimate, that's cash that we don't have. That's an asset that we don't have that we planned on. You know, we're actually poorer because that happened. If we spend, you know, if we have $1 million deficit or $1 million overrun in an expense account, again, we're poorer by $1 million in cash. But when we have a tax delinquency, that's actually a shift in assets, but we still have an asset. We still have an asset backing that. So if our, you know, if we increase in property tax delinquencies by $500,000, we're shifting from cash to the delinquency, and we earn 18% on that. So that's why there's some value in doing that analysis and understanding that, but for that growth in delinquencies, we would be at or above our target. So you can see at the end of the year, we're at just under 12% of our target compared to 17%. If it weren't for the delinquencies, we would be at 18% or over the our 17% target. There's a couple other things I wanted to point out here. So, for example, the sales tax revenue, we had a $700,000 deficit in sales tax. That's an example. There was a collection of revenues that we trued up in the 2011 budget. We ratcheted the budget number back to closer to the actual that we realized in 2010, and that's part of why we're having positive results in 2011. So, and sales tax meet is probably the biggest one. Al, can you remember a couple of other ones that we threw up in the 2011 budget?
Sales tax tipping fee, some of the planning development revenues. Those are things we ratcheted back that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Okay, great. One of the other things I wanted to talk about on page 16, economic factors, the next year's budgets and rates. There's a nice history of what happened with the general fund on that page, if you want to. I encourage that we keep this history going so you can go back and get a historical perspective on what was happening with the general fund. You can see that it was $11.5 million in 2005. Once the general fund started to grow to that level, the board had a policy that it didn't want that general fund to get to be too high or too low, so we started to take some of that cash, and we used that to pay for capital. Then when we saw what was happening with the economy, we reversed that and recaptured about half of that, which was beneficial to us. So, but you can see a history of the general fund on page 16. You can see the impact that the recession had on the general fund. One thing that's interesting on page 17 of this report, at the end of December 2010, the county had almost $150 million invested in net capital assets, including land, building, park, golf. And in addition, we had another almost $15 million in construction in progress, so $165 million of assets. And Al, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that this includes roads. One of the things that they required us to do is put infrastructure in here. Now, so we have $150 million, $165 million in assets, but that's book value. And that goes back, I mean, a road that we built 50 years ago, right? A building that we, you know, a courthouse that we built in the 20s. The replacement value of this is probably $500 million. So I would say if you look at all of our roads, all of our buildings, looked at what would it take to replace everything, putting in perspective, when you look at a capital budget, when you see a capital budget in front of you, so in 20, in October, as Chairman mentioned, the normal time that we present our budget is that first week in October, you'll get that budget, you get a capital budget in front of you. You might see, a $10 or $20 million capital budget, where we're most of the time we're replacing something that has gone past its useful life. Sometimes we're adding a new capital asset, but what we're doing is addressing over a quarter billion, probably $500 million worth of capital assets that the county has for providing service to the community. You know, roads, bridges, buildings. Flipping to page 18, you can see a summary of the debt service. You can see at the end of 2009, we had $84 million of total outstanding debt. At the end of 2010, we had $95 million. And again, you know, a significant reason for that is because of the construction of the public safety building. But you can see that we had growth in debt. On this page, there's some interesting information that gives a little bit of background and history on our bond rating, so you might be interested in focusing on that. One other thing that's interesting is that we have, it shows the high water mark in debt. You know, I think 1999 was the year that we had the highest debt for the county, which is just under $113 million. Which, if you adjusted for inflation, would be almost $150 million. So our high water mark for debt was just shy of $150 million compared to today, again, comparing apples to apples, $95 million. So we're $55 million in inflation-adjusted dollars below the high water mark for debt. And then you can see a chart on page 19, taking us from that high, from that actual number, the $112 million, down to where we are today, the $98 million. So that's the management discussion and analysis. Then the report starts getting into the financial statements, and I think I'll save those for Kathy if the committee wants to go through those when she arrives. If you still have a desire to go through those. I was at a meeting in Madison, and we had a speaker named Joan Osura, who's you know, a wonderful columnist in the New York Times. I don't know if you're a fan of his or if you ever read his stuff. You ever heard of Joe Nocera? You can Google him. But he was making this presentation, and it was most of the people were on the edge of their seats listening to it. But off in the corner, I heard a and the speaker noticed that too. So I guess no matter how exciting the speech is, they're still gonna someone's eyes are still gonna close on you. So sorry if I if I'm having exciting. The same effect. You know,
how about Terry?
This is really exciting.
And Terry, I'm not looking at you in particular. Yeah.
Chairman, I have a question for Mr. Gears.
Sure.
Taking a look at page 19. I'm looking at this graph, we see the debt had decreased for a period of time. Now it's definitely on the upswing. If you had a crystal ball and you could gaze into it and you could look at things that are changing, are about to change, will change in the future, could you prognosticate to any moderate degree of where this curve is going to go in terms of on the same approximate upward trend? Is it going to flatten off when you look at improvement projects, capital improvement, you look at the situation with the labor now being different than we had in the past? Do you have any comments or prognostications here?
It's an interesting question. When you have a half a billion in assets, my experience is there's nothing more expensive than deferred maintenance. So a wise move would be to maintain those assets or take them off the books, you know, shut a road down, shut a building down, or, you know, whatever asset, you know, from a policy standpoint, we decide is no longer of value or providing service delivery to the community or we can't afford anymore. So knowing that we have that, we probably want to, and this is our way of funding that. So, adjusted for inflation, I don't see it getting back up to that $150 million number. You know, I think we can maintain the assets that we have without having to get back to that. In real dollars, will it go up? It could. You know, now the other thing is it depends on the policy making. I mean, to some degree, this is viewed as a controllable thing, and it is controllable. I mean, when you have these assets that have 20, 40-year lives, you can put them off for 5 years or 10 years, and then all of a sudden you get a phase of big catch-up you have to do. We did go through a cycle where we ratcheted our debt down significantly by making policy decisions to do a lot less capital. So we went through that, I would say, starting in about 98, 99, and then through maybe the next 6 to 8 years, you know, we made policy decisions to not engage in capital projects. Again, it depends on if the desire of the leadership is to make that kind of a policy decision. Again, these are long-term things. These are 20, 40, 50-year decisions. So in that horizon, there will be some fluctuation. But I still think relative to the significant assets the county has, we do have stability here in the way we funded it.
Yeah, so when you look at this curve we're looking at here, you reference public works and building and infrastructure and so forth. Just in relative terms, we can kind of get our collective minds around it. What percentage of a indebted curve that we see here could be attributable related to public works and the maintenance thereof? Is that a
Yeah, probably. I had that analysis. Mm. We do have that analysis. Obviously, the lion's share of it relates to public works. I mean, we do have, because of infrastructure, I mean, so if you go back and you look at page 17, you see that we've got 80, construction in progress, that's $15 million, that's on the public safety building. We have land of $20 million, land improvements of $20 million, buildings of $80 million, machinery and equipment of $24 to $25 million, and infrastructure of $37 million. So of that of that 200 million minus accumulated depreciation. So let's say 200 million minus the accumulated depreciation. Taking book value, not replacement cost, what would it really, I mean, when you're sitting on that committee, you're looking at what it take the cost to roll, cost to rebuild the road. If you took that number and applied it to this 40 million, it wouldn't be 40 million. It'd be probably well over 100 million.
Sure.
So,
but your impression is at least half, yeah, more than half.
I would say over half of it is public works related.
Okay. That's my question, Mr. Yeah. Chairman. Thank you.
Maybe what I'll do is jump to the footnotes and then save the financials for Kathy.
Page 37.
The footnotes start on page, actually there's page 37 is the index, and if you spot anything that you have an interest in for us to amplify or talk more about, we can do that. Maybe what I'll do is I'll just talk through this index here. There's one thing that the footnotes emphasizes, these are the financial statements for the entire county. When I first came here, I noticed we were getting different audits for different parts of the county. Like we would get an audit for the health department, we'd get an audit for the Brookside. There maybe was some history or some funding behind that, but these are the financial statements for the entire county. If you have any interest in understanding some of our policies and how we report our fixed assets, those are all delineated in footnote D. There's a difference between when the Governmental Accounting Standards Board issued the requirements that we have the management discussion and analysis in the entity-wide financial statements. There were some differences between the way we recorded fixed assets in those reports and the way we report fixed assets in the other financial statements. So there's a reconciliation of that, and that's in Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 3 talks about the importance of the custodianship, the trusteeship, the stewardship, and accountability over the county financial of the assets. Footnote 4 gets into some of the financial discussion of some of the financial issues. Go to Roman numeral 4, talk about a couple of those pieces. You can see the deposits and the investments, and you can see that on page 55 at the end of the year, we had 23 million cash deposits, and you can see it sorted by fund. One of the things that happens is when we close the books at the end of the year, we're at our low ebb for cash. So there's periods of time where we will get up over 70 to 80 million. But when we go to close our books at the end of our calendar year, you can see that we're at our low ebb. We talk about the investments on page 56. We talk about how we adhere to state statute, and we have a county policy that we adhere to. As far as the management of our investments, basically we don't... It isn't really our objective to try to maximize investment earnings. Our objective is the preservation of principal. So we get into the discussion of credit risk. Also in footnote A, you can see the profile of the way the cash is invested in AAA funds on page 57. That would be another, that would, I think you may be interested in looking at the way the cash is invested, and you can see that in the snapshot on page 57.
I have a question on 57, Mr. Chairman. Under Johnson Bank repurchase agreements, what does that refer to, and what type of instrument is that?
That's primarily the asset that we maintain in the checking account at Johnson Bank and their overnight repos. So it's a one-day duration on that. But those deposits are backed that way by Johnson Bank.
What's the limit of that backing? $250,000?
There's $250,000 plus another $400,000. But because the repos are in the name of the county, they're in our name. So that's what gives us the protection there.
Okay.
So, but if it were not in our name, we would get $250,000 from the Fed and another $400,000 from the state, which obviously isn't enough for this kind of deposit. Sure that those investments are in our name, and they close that way every at the end of every day.
Question on page 71. Just on the
71
operating leases, and then relates to the general fund estimate we have now. The question is, how much is the lease not going to be paid this year from the police department? Is it in here somewhere?
It should be recorded as a receivable. I mean, we have a legal right to record it as a receivable. So, although to some degree they had been delinquent in their payments, it should all be because
somewhat.
I mean, what was the amount that they underpaid us? Was it $70,000?
No, at the end of the year for rent, it was only $6,000.
Oh, $6,000.
What about this year?
They're up to date.
They are.
Yeah, they weren't initially for the first couple of months, and then they paid us.
Gone away.
Yeah, they paid us 6 months. We still have, you know, we're still in the process of getting the final cost together to have the city issue us a note for their portion of the debt on the building. So we've been paying out our debt service payments, and we don't have any.
How about the $500,000 they owe us from the health department?
That's a different story.
We're in the middle of the report right now. I've been giving it for the last 20 minutes.
And talking very slowly. And
is he doing a good job?
Do you want us to be honest or what?
Kathy, I walked him through the MD&A. So we're finished with the MD&A.
We're fresh.
And then I started walking through the footnote. So you don't need to do the MD&A. You probably don't need to go through most of the footnotes. So I would just start with the financial statements.
Okay, before we do that, can I go back to this page 19 when you're talking about the county debt service, because what is the percentage, if you know, and we've talked about this in the past, and I think this is significant when we move into the budget, what percentage of that debt service is attached to the local levy?
About 25.
Pardon me?
In the 25% range.
So if you're looking at a $60 million, I'm trying to be sure I understand the question. You can tell me if I don't, but we have roughly a $60 million levy, $14 million of which is debt service. Is that what you're asking? So it's $14 million of roughly $60 million.
So back in 99, when we were at the high mark,
it probably gobbled up even more.
Oh, must have.
I would have to go back and look at it, but it depends on how it was structured. But our debt service may have actually been lower, even though debt was higher. That could have been possible because of the way it was structured.
You mean the payments being...
The payments, yeah, the actual...
Because those were the early years, but had we gone along that same route,
yeah,
your payments would have been right. Eating up more and more of the levy.
It would have been.
That's the significant thing for us to remember in the future when we decide, are we going to add to that debt service or not? What impact does that have on your operations?
And that's one of the metrics in our debt policy. You know, what percentage of your debt is of your operating budget? Right. Less expenditures, they look at the expenditures too. So another way of looking at it is we have roughly a 200 to 200, depending on what year you're in, let's say a $250 million budget with $14 million of debt. So from that perspective, it's a lower percentage. So if you're looking at it as a perspective of levy, it's higher. If you're looking at a perspective of total spending, it's lower. And the thing to remember is it benefits the entire operation, which is a $250 million, $200 to $250 million operation. And it benefits the entire county fixed asset infrastructure, which is a $250 million to a $500 million in replacement value.
But your observation is correct, and when we've said this before, even when we're looking at the AAA benchmarking and you compare Kenosha County to other counties, our percentage of debt service compared to the total levy blows the other counties away.
Even at 25%?
Yes.
We're higher.
We're, yes.
Yeah, and that's a, you know, if you follow track national issues, that's the one of the big national issues here.
Well, we do that on purpose in order to pay down the debt fast.
But our debt retirement in 10 years is on par with everybody else. So how are they keeping it lower versus, you know, I think it's 89% or something like that over a 10-year cycle, and that's comparable to the other
counties. It's actually higher. We do better. But one of the things that when you compare it to the national and the state governments is this is all reflected in infrastructure, whereas they're using theirs to cover operations.
Yes. I mean,
the Fed has a $3.7 trillion budget with $2.7 trillion of revenue, and that doesn't include the entitlements. That's not what's happening here. I mean, if the Fed managed their debt the way we did, we wouldn't have the problem, the national problem that we have. If it was all backed by in fact, infrastructure stimulate is economically stimulated, you know, having a road helps expand and develop an economy. So it's apples and oranges. It's apples and oranges when you compare our debt to the issue that we've got with at the federal, with our sovereign debt of the United States. So, Kathy, I'll hand the baton over to you, and you can start with, I think, on page 21. And then you also could talk about, you could amplify a little more how we had no findings.
I would love to amplify that.
So you can start with that, if you like.
Well, one thing is I wanted to mention on page one, I'm just going back shortly, our opinion page mentions that we have adopted GASB statement number 51, which is accounting for intangible assets. So this year, we didn't have to go retroactive or anything, but we started accounting, putting on our books software as an intangible asset or software that we developed, which we don't have any of that. But so that's a new guideline that... that, you know, we separate out as a category. So that's just a little item I wanted to point out, and Dave may not have seen that on that. Yes, Dave is correct. The bottom line is we had no fiscal findings. Sometimes we have one, sometimes we have two. We had no problems with journal entries or we had, you know, clean, no comment kind of thing. We're very proud of that. That's great for the county. You know, people will hear about that. When we get one, I mean, it's not a terrible thing, but that means that everybody has been attuned to the internal controls.
We tried to shore up our accounts payable, internal controls, our cash receipting. We're always looking at that. And these auditors are very picky. They've been with us for many years. So, you know, that's good and bad, but they know how we work, and they look at, sometimes you go, why are they looking at such detail? Like journal entries a few years ago, they said, you don't have, you know, they're signed, but you don't have a second person signing them. And so, we said, well, let's put in place so we have, now we have somebody checking that there's always a second signature besides the person that, you know, maybe wrote it up. There's always a second person signing off. And they do that sample. They're looking, they're trying to find it. And so we're really proud that we don't have any findings this year. And, you know, that, as you know, our departments are decentralized and people have things happening. It's not just this floor. There's people doing payables and receivables all over the county, and they sample all that. And so I think that's a feather in the cap for the finance committee, too. We do have the single audit, which we don't have the draft available, but it is completed. We have, we're waiting for some response from the auditors yet just to finalize it. There was one thing they found, one folder, a client folder, that they have some question about one of the documents not being in there. So we're not sure where we stand yet, if that's a finding or not, but they're responding to us shortly. And that is all due September 30th, so that has to be submitted to the feds by then. So that'll be coming out shortly. But that was clean, too. They look at our fiscal compliance, too, in that part of the audit. They had no findings there, too, except for they have that issue. We'll see how that comes out. I'd like to go to page 21 and just kind of give you some overview. The two statements in the beginning there are the for-profit statements, where we convert our government-type accounting to a for-profit look. So in the government activity column, you see assets, capital assets. Normally, governments don't capitalize the assets, but in these statements, we do that. We capitalize our infrastructure, which is the roads. So we've been tracking what we're spending on the roads, how they're depreciated, the buildings. In normal business, you do that. In government, only the business types do that. So that this statement is trying to help governments compare better to other entities and other governments. And so they designed this balance sheet and income statements on the second page, where you see a little different setup, where the expenses are in the first column, and then they show what revenues offset those expenses. So in other words, general government, we spent $20.8 million, and then we had revenue charges for services that offset it, operating grants, and then we have a hole of $16 million because general government doesn't bring in a lot of revenue. That's the levy makes up for that, and that's on the bottom. So that's a little bit different look that you don't see elsewhere, but the expenses they show first, and then they show how the government pays for that. And the second section is the business type. So that's a different look at an income statement, but it shows you how we come down to the bottom and how the levy has to make up for where we don't have outside sources. We have our debt service levy, sales tax, and the other revenues that make up for what we don't get from grants and charges. Then on page 23 is the balance sheet, that the normal government type balance sheet. We have the general fund, human services, debt service, and then there's non-major, and it just shows you, I'd like to point out the fund balance section. We do have I think you probably talked about this and we've talked about it earlier, the reserve for delinquent tax certificates, $5.8 million. I think, Dave, did you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
It's leveling off, okay. And then the designated and undesignated general fund part, that's always important. The 1.596 is our carryovers, and that includes $1 million that we carried over to put in the debt service, so that's part of that. And then the 7.385 is our undesignated, and that's what the bond agencies look at to see how healthy our county is, and that's what we're trying to build up to be
the 17% of our expenses. I'm sure Dave talked about that. That's where you find that. And then on page 26 and 27 is the income statement related to those same funds. Don't have too much to say there because you already know how our general fund came out. And then the budget to actual, page 29 and 30, we didn't have any categories overspending the budget. We have to keep within the appropriation units, and so that statement kind of shows the reader that we have not gone over budget in any of our expenditure areas. And then we have the business type funds on page 31, Brookside, Highway, and Golf. And then the last column, internal service, our health insurance, workers' comp, liability, and the job center building fund. So you can see these funds keep track of their assets, and they have the note payables, they have the liabilities. And their income statement is on the next page, page 32. And there you can see how Brookside, their income, their loss before transfers, $908,000. You know, we transferred money in to cover that. We went through that at the carryover meeting. Highway, the transfer in there, they had a loss, say, before transfers at 2.4, but the 4.6 is bond money that covers their capital. So that they come out, their change in assets is almost $2 million. A lot of that's carried over for the new year for capital outlay. And then the golf course, you're familiar with that, where we reported they also had a loss, and we transferred in money to cover that loss. So that may be old news to some of you, but some of you weren't all here then.
Can I just ask you a question real quick? On the internal service fund for the health insurance, and maybe it's not in here, but can we at least, I want to see how much overhead is being charged to that internal service fund. You know, we have what we're applying to from the departmental revenues coming in for the premiums. We have the actual claims and the outside contract that we have. How much county dollars for overhead or whatnot get charged to that? To that
Kathy, I want to, Joel, if you mind if I talk a little bit about your question to be sure I understand.
Sure.
Okay. So, first of all, which fund are we looking at? On what page?
Well, she was just talking about internal service funds.
Those are, if you want to look at the back of the report, they're page
if you're going to get there, we can do it later if you want.
No, I don't know. We don't have administration pulled out. I mean, as a category.
But
I guess I would just like to know that. We don't have to hit that here, but I'd be curious as to...
I would like to look at the fund. Kathy, can you tell us what page that...
Page 97.
Yeah. It's in the footnote section. Yeah. So we've got a health insurance fund on page 97. You can see the activity, $18 million. And then we've got... cash flow. We have the balance sheet that shows that there's, so for example, on page 96, at the bottom of the page, you can see the $1.5 million policy reserve that we maintain for health insurance. So you can see the financial statements. Now, the question is, how are they impacted by the charge of overhead? And I
want to know, when we look at the revenue and the expenses, you have the revenues. I understand that's the premiums from the various different
using the actuarial.
Right. And then you have the expenses that are all the claims, the reinsurance expense or the premium that you got to pay. Then you have the administration or whoever, that outside administrator that and all the professionals that use. And then how many county dollars that are charged to that department? That's what I'm interested in.
You're looking at staff.
Yeah, our allocation. Now, I know in our budget we have some of that, like Donna's charge.
Yeah, it's like half of an FTE is.
And that's all I want to know. I just want to know, is it just wages, or are there other things applied to that fund?
There may be a little staff development, but outside of that, it's just half an FTE.
Did you shoot an email and just say, here's the number?
I can tell you what the actual expense was for 2010.
Yeah.
Now, we do have contracts that we charge there, so we have stop-loss insurance.
Right.
We have, I don't think that's what you mean.
Internal.
You just want internal. You don't want the millman or the
internal charges
or any of that. You're just looking for the internal staff time charge.
Internal charges, whatever they are.
Okay.
Internal charge overhead or anything.
Not the outside contracts or anything. Like that.
All right. So I think basically, Al's memory squares up with mine. I think it is like half an FTE.
I remember that. I know Donna's.
Donna's 50%.
Donna's, yeah. And then the risk contract manager is charged, part of his time is charged to the workers' comp and the liability insurance.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can see a nice snapshot of those funds in that footnote, too.
Right, I saw that.
That'll be interesting for you guys to look at that. All right, Kathy. Sorry that. Thanks for flipping us right to the page for Joe's question. So you're on page 30 something.
32. Odd question. You said that Brookside deficit $908,346. Was that covered by general fund? Just remind us.
Some of that, we transferred in $936,000, but some of that was bond money that was budgeted to, and I think, I know Human Services covered Brookside with money.
Right.
It wasn't from the general fund, it was from surplus from Human Services. So Human Services was copacetic through their fund.
So
I think it was like $600,000 maybe, or $500,000.
We covered that, but with Terry's question, I'll say, looking at it departmentally, they had a surplus. That's my recall. Human Services had a surplus in 2010. Mm-hmm. They're tracking for another surplus as a department in 2011. But within that surplus, they had some surpluses and some deficits. One was Brookside, and they, used that money to balance out Brookside.
And then, correct, you had...
Are you on page 32?
Yeah, page 32.
Yeah. Loss before transfers?
The $1.6 million?
$908,346 under non-operating revenue, right?
Yes.
Expenses. Loss, you seen it?
Right. But above that is before any levy, and I thought we only levied $65,000 that year for this. Or we projected
a
surplus. A surplus, we thought we
were... Yeah, you're right. They budgeted a small surplus, actually, to have.
So how is it that we have a... But the intergovernmental grant is the IGT or whatever that was called coming in?
Yeah. Yes.
So was there any tax levy there other than this loss, which was covered by some other...
We didn't levy any money.
Right. There was no levy allocated to that fund in the 2010 budget.
That's why you don't have anything for general property tax.
Right.
Now, the other thing that's interesting, and Kathy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that I think the accounting rules allowed us to change the accounting practice on the IGT. So in 2011, we're not doing that. Was 2010 the last year of that?
Actually,
2009
was.
Oh, it was 2009, okay. So, that's right. So we actually get to record that revenue actually in the fund in 2009 now. We don't have to show that as a transfer anymore, which is...
We used to transfer that to a general fund, Terry. But now we can keep it in Brookside, so that's why we don't have to levy, because we
that's
can
right.
keep the money there.
You're talking about the intergovernmental.
The intergovernmental.
So that actually it makes transfers truer when you're looking at them. They're more meaningful.
So the operating expenses, does that include the capital expenditures?
No, it's depreciation, not capital.
So you get the depreciation. So this is a $900,000 deficit.
Yes.
And then if you add back the non-cash, the depreciation is about $600,000 roughly on cash.
And that's about what was reported at the end of last year.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a deficit.
Yeah, and that's what you guys reported, I thought.
Right, yeah, yeah. It didn't.
And this year, you're predicting a $200,000 deficit, as I understood your cash report earlier.
Cash deficit, right. That's what you said.
As compared to 908.
Compared to about 600.
600.
Because that depreciation, there's 300-some thousand of depreciation that's not right. Cash.
This is 74.
You took that over the 908,
yeah,
you
see
said
the 600. Yeah, and this transfer in, mm-hmm. Some of that was bond money that we gave to Brookside to purchasing. So,
what's happening in 2011 on this intergovernmental transfer? Isn't that going down?
I'm not familiar with.
So,
yeah.
My recall is that we did budget a smaller number.
Going down.
I think we budgeted about a $600,000 number.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
I'd have to double check to see if. I think we're on track to realize at least that, if not more. But that's what I'm going by.
One of the questions that I'm just going to have as we go through, so you just kind of keep in mind when you get there, we had this this report on golf here, just kind of a summary on the back of our general fund projection. They had the Public Works little scheduler. In the comparative, they had 2010 golf, and it said cash basis of a $322,000 loss. So as you're taking us through there, if you could maybe hit on that number
okay.
when you get there.
Maybe we can see it in the cash flow on the next page. Let's
see. I was looking for it.
Okay. Yeah, related to that, you know, we transfer money into the golf based on what their cash deficit is, and that may be the number that you're talking about there. The transfer in would be, let's see, yeah, on page 34, you see where it says transfers $342,000. That's the amount that we transferred in to cover non-capital activities. So that is the cash deficit there. What number did you say was on the back of that page?
There was 322, so we're up by 20.
But that's
you had a surplus in cash. So if you take the 342 minus the increase in cash, that's going to get us within a couple thousand.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And so one thing you can always remember is on these proprietary funds, the county board has had an interest in the cash. You have an interest in that. You don't have an interest in things like depreciation. You know, what's the bottom line, John? If you did all the technical accounting you had to do, that's really not your interest. Your interest is the cash. So you can look at that statement that you have in the audit, you can see what happens with the cash. And as the chairman just walked you through, you can actually see that number there, always historically preserved, and you can always understand what's happening with these enterprise operations. How they're impacting cash.
And in the golf fund, we ended up with $244,000 in cash because we had carryovers that they had bond money that they hadn't spent at that point. And so we had to make sure they had that cash set aside. So that's basically why there's a cash balance and it's not zero. It's because they still had bond money that was restricted for capital outlay. Okay. Dave, you said you mentioned you talked about the footnotes.
You know, I think I took them most of the way through number
okay.
four, but you might want to just pick up a little bit on number four if you're going to say anything on four and then finish off number five or the other.
I just wanted to point out, you know, the notes to me are a good reference for the board if they're looking up things. Our deposits are broken out in page 57, 58, 59, and it talks about what kind of things we're investing in, the risk factor in those. So
yeah,
that's just
kind of walking through
that. I don't know that. And then we have our capital assets on page 62 and 63. Did you talk?
Yeah.
Okay. And then our
moving.
RDF.
Yeah, and not that we wouldn't have liked to hear it from you, but
it would have been better. Well, he said I could come at 7. I had a board meeting in Milwaukee, and I drove down here.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Sorry. Okay, and then the debt on page 67, we have it broken out into governmental type and debt and business type debt. So the debt that is the governmental type, you can see we increased our debt, but some of that was a refinance. So we had $50 million increase, but $37 million decrease. So it's a net 12. That was our capital budget, was the $12 million. We refinanced a couple bonds in 2010 to save money on the interest, and that's just page 68. Good listing of all our debt and principal and interest going forward for the next for 2030 on page 89. And this also, these notes also point out our retirement system, page 74, risk management. I don't know if anybody has any questions on those, but and then also our OPEB, which is funding of our post-employment benefits. We have Milliman's that gives us how much we our future liabilities are, and then every year we're paying as a goal, but we also record this liability on our books now, so the reader knows that the county will be in for this liability going forward, as taking people's age, and Milliman does that for us, so that note is there. On page 83, we have some subsequent events that we're familiar with. Really just one, we had a $2.8 million bond that went out, and I think it came out the day we got the report, so the auditor said we should put it in there. It was budgeted for. It's just a new note that the 2.8 and the 10 million that was for the Molyneux and the courthouse renovation, the 10 million was budgeted for capital outlay, and that happened to come in. The date of this report has to cover everything through the date of the report. That's kind of a new way of doing it, so we have to mention that. Also, we have some new guidelines that are coming that will be effective for 2011, and the one that affects us the most as far as this report is our fund balance reporting, where we'll have categories that they tried to make them a little more meaningful, and you'll see a little bit more categories where we have, were they initiated by a legal resource, was it initiated by the board, designated by the board? You know, it's in these stages of what the authority was to set aside that fund balance. And there's a couple different terms that you'll see, but basically that'll go into effect for 2011 report. You'll see that. And then the other ones are just the codifications of our guidelines. They're codifying those so that they're supposed to be more meaningful too. So that won't really affect our reporting. But and then also you got the internal control letter.
Yes.
Is that right? In there, just like to point out, that's where the auditors are communicating with the board. They want to tell you whether there were any problems with management or with the audit. None of those things occurred, that they're reporting to you because you're really the people that they're doing the audit for. You know, they're checking on us to show you how we're doing. And so this is where they would have had those findings. There were no findings. They would have reported them here. And they like to point out that there's new, I just mentioned those new guidelines on page 3. So these are just informational things that they like to make sure the board knows about, but there's nothing controversial in here. It's more of a standard report, and again, that they had no problems doing the audit, and there were no findings.
No red flags?
No red flags.
Smoking guns?
No. Just concealed weapons.
Concealed carry.
I don't think there's a Gatsby on smoking guns. There is a red flag.
Leave it to Terry to find it.
There's a red flag.
Yeah,
Thanks, Kathy.
Move to receive and file.
Moved by Supervisor Gaines, second by Supervisor Green.
Thank you for your hustle to get back.
This is, the audit is on our website. And I know some of our funding sources now are accepting that we don't have to send them a hard copy. They're accepting that it's on our website. And we have electronic version if anybody needs electronic, you know, PDF, but it's also on our website now, too. So.
When will this be on the desks for the county board?
Probably should be the next meeting.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Is that would you like that?
Did you previously give out the single audit with that, or you just gave this one out?
No, we don't have that finalized yet. We haven't given out. This is the first real distribution of it, except for the state and some of the funding sources got this report. But you would
did
have
you
to
previously distribute accepted. The single audit, or no?
I think, Chairman, your question is, have we distributed the 2010 single audit yet?
No. Have you previously distributed prior year single audits
yes.
to the board?
Yeah,
so I would just wait to distribute until you have the whole.
I think that's a good idea.
So we'll wait until we have the entire package. So that will not be at the next meeting. It'll probably be either one or two meetings after that.
I just had one question on page 21 for either Kathy or David. It has capital assets, land improvements and construction, progress. And it's got a price tag associated with it of $49 million. You had mentioned, Dave, that in some way of looking at replacement costs, they're always significantly higher
yeah.
than what the cost is here. So we take a look at improvements in construction and progress. I would assume that that's a regular dollar amount that we have put into a particular entity. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. How is the land valued? Is the land valued by what yardstick or what measurement?
It's
cost.
Yeah, what we paid for it.
At the time, not
no.
current?
Right. And so okay. there was a new accounting standard that came out, what was that, a decade ago? When we had to start recording fixed assets.
Yeah, 2002.
So almost a decade ago. And in the past, we weren't required to record this the way you're looking at that. Now, when we did that, one of the things we had to do was hire an appraiser to conduct an appraisal of all county assets. And then between 2002 and 2010, they created a rule that said we had to add infrastructure. But was it the 2002 rule that said the infrastructure had to be put on the books?
We didn't have to do it till 2003.
The appraiser had to walk it back to an estimated year that we got that. So if we got it in 1910, they had to discount it back to 1910.
Okay.
So the land might be something that was $10 in 1910 that might be $250,000 today. You know, so that's what you're seeing on that book value.
Right.
Again, sitting on that committee, when we pay six, seven figures to rebuild a road, if you took that number and plugged it into that, you know, so we have a quarter, you know, probably $500 million in assets.
Right.
You know.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's my question.
Thank you. I just want to, I think we have one more meeting before we get to the budget. I don't know if there's anything anybody specifically wants to see on that agenda.
We better take a vote on
that. Can you vote on motion on
sorry.
The receive and file?
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So I don't know if there's anything there. One of the items for discussion or at least consideration is the Corporation Council House. I think it is the process of the Finance Committee to set a price or determine whether they want to sell it. I know there's been some discussion with the Corporation Council going out of there, so I don't know if that goes on the agenda or not. I'm going to check on that, talk to the executive. But that's something I don't see anything coming forward. I talked about wanting to have some discussion about health insurance
contributions, whether we are self-funded, whether we go to a, you know, look at our options for health insurance. It's my understanding that the county executive is going to come out with some sort of proposal in his budget. I don't know that for sure, exactly what, but I know that he's been working on that, and at this point in time, obviously, we'll just kind of wait and see what that is. So, anything else?
In regards to the disposition of Corporation Counsel's building, is there a preference to the way that gets handled? I mean, is it like you ask a realtor to set a price and you list it? Do you go to an absolute auction? Do you have an auction with a reserve? You know, what type of things have we done in the past as far as county goes?
They have to bring it back to the committee to set a sale price on it.
Yes. The committee needs to set a sale price based on some criteria, I would assume. I don't recall. We had some asset we sold probably 6 years ago or something like that. But
We had appraisals when we sold the Kroger or the old social services,
right,
and when we sold the highway.
Yeah.
That went off a bit then too.
So it just comes down to that's an issue that may or may not come up. I don't know whether that's even contemplated in the budget, but there was some discussion with the Corporation Council moving. What should we do with that?
They're just not going off for bids for the remodeling of the basement over there for the Corporation Council.
Right.
So they haven't got that put together yet, so that would probably be the first quarter or first half of next year to get them moved over there.
Where would
over Frank's dead body?
I think they're going into the basement of the courthouse,
basement,
right?
The garden level.
IT,
the garden
IT
level. Level.
The
garden.
All the IT department, but they got to massage all that area.
That should actually be, without some committee, that should be actually under remodeling next month.
Yeah.
That's how it's scheduled
to be. You know, how long that's going to take or whatever.
Not long. We're talking 3 weeks.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
By Supervisor.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Ekinas. All in favor say
aye.
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 Opposed?
Yeah.
We're adjourned.
No.
I didn't.
This is.